Appreciate the men of God, this opportunity given to me. Ask you to pray for us. You have your Bible open to the book of Luke, chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And I want to begin reading with verse number 31 and give you the message that I feel the Lord has dealt with my heart about. Luke chapter 22, verse number 31. Would you stand with me, please, while I read these scriptures, if you're physically able? If not, then we certainly understand that. And the Lord said unto Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, that the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And he said unto him, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. Then said he unto them, but now he that hath purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say unto you, that this that is written must be accomplished in me. And he was reckoning among the transgressors, for these things concerning me have an end. And they said, Lord, behold, here are two swords. And he said unto them, it is enough. And he came out, and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives. And his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me, nevertheless not my will but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. Let's bow, please, for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, Lord, for this time of prayer. We thank you for what our ears have already been made to hear, how our hearts do rejoice around the Word of God. And I pray that you would just take me and, Lord, let me be a servant for you. Let my lips and my mind be vessels of use to you. And I pray, Father, that I'll say only those things that would be pleasing unto you. Bless those that are sitting under the sound of our voice this afternoon, Lord. I pray that we'll hear the Word of God and respond to it. Lord, I pray that when we leave this room, may we all be able to say, I'm now closer to God than I was when I come in. If there's one in our midst that doesn't know you, I pray today will be the greatest day of their life when they'll surrender all and come and follow you. We'll thank you and praise you for all these things. We ask them in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. And amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The story that I've read to you this afternoon is the prayer in the garden. And Jesus starts out by talking to Peter personally. Then he begins to address the disciples one by one and together as a multitude. He begins to share with them some things that are going to happen. They begin to get a hold of His Spirit. They begin to get a hold of His earnestness. Did you notice with me the Bible said in verse 39 that He came out and went as He was wont to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples followed Him. And He said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He went just a stone's cast away. When you get my age, that's not very far away. But a stone's cast is not a long way from them. I do know this, it's close enough that you could hear a man agonizing. It's close enough that when a man is sweating as though great drops of blood are falling upon the ground, and he's in agony, you can hear what he's praying. I want to bring to your attention verse number 45, where the Bible said, and when he rose up from prayer, he was come to his disciples and found them sleeping for sorrow. For sorrow. We've always give the disciples a hard time about this. We've got on them in our preaching, our Sunday school teaching. We've written songs about it. And we've given them a hard time about sleeping while he was praying. But I want to say to you this evening, those three words changes that view. Sleeping for sorrow. In other words, these disciples had got a hold of the atmosphere of the moment. They had begun to glean from him the trouble that was near at hand. And Jesus said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. There's a comma after pray. And that ye enter not into temptation, but he commands them to pray, to have that time of prayer among themselves. And they were sleeping for sorrow. How did they get that sorrow in their life? Well, if you go down through the chapter, you'll see some things that begin to take place. In verse 15, he said, before I suffer. He began to talk to them about it. A time of suffering was coming. And this was going to be a hard time in his life. Down in verse 22, he talks about he's going to be betrayed during that time of suffering. Do you see they're beginning to get the atmosphere? They're beginning to grab hold of the moment that he's going through. And the anguish that is at hand in the Savior's life. Down in verse 24, the Bible said, and there was a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And there's even more of a reason to get a hold of the moment. If you come down to verse 28, he said, ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. And they see again the moment and the strife that is coming his way. Look in verse 31. He says to Peter, I'll tell you this, you're going to deny that you know me. And Peter said, I'll go all the way to prison with you. And he said, the cock shall not even crow till thrice you denied me. That you even know me. And it came to pass. Down in verse 36, the Bible said that he commands them to go out and buy swords. And they're going to need those swords. They tell him, here is three, and he said, it is enough. That'll do the job. One would have been sufficient, because the servant's ear was going to have to be put back on. And Jesus knew that ahead of time. Finally, you come down to verse 44, and the Bible said, and being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was where his great drops of blood fell down to the ground. So the disciples have seen the atmosphere that is beginning to build here around them. And he's a stone cast away, praying in great agony. And the Bible said that they kneeled down and they began to pray. They had their own prayer meeting. They prayed, I believe, the very best they could for the moment and what was taking place. When he come back, he found them asleep. Not just asleep, but asleep for sorrow, the Bible says. Or in other words, they had exhausted themselves. They had come to the very end of their way. They had prayed with all the ability that was within these natural bodies to pray. And I just want to say to you this afternoon that you can get weary doing a good thing. You can get weary. You can get to the point, like Brother Donnie just said two times in his ministry. Two times that he came to the place where he wanted to quit and give up. You can get tired and weary doing a good thing. And that's what these disciples have done. They spent themselves. They have come to the end of themselves, and now they have just fallen asleep. I don't know about you, but there have been a few times in my life where I have prayed till I come to the end of myself. I remember one time, Brother Noah, when I was called to pastor a church, I didn't see myself worthy as holding such a position as pastor in God's church. And I had been asked to come full time at this church with 18 in Sunday school. The next year and a half, I seen God begin to do some great things. But before I did, I had in my backyard a little corn crib. And I got in that corn crib and pulled a log chain around the door, and there was a padlock. And I locked that padlock and got down on my face before God. To this day, I can't tell you how long I was in that corn crib. I can't tell you how many meals I missed, but I was in there for some time with God. When I come out of there, I knew that God had done something for me, and I was going to be able to do what God had called me to do. I went into the house and I laid down on the bed. I didn't have to take a sleeping pill. I didn't have to have my back massaged. I didn't have to have my feet rubbed. But I tell you, I went into a heavenly sleep like I ain't never had before. I had spent myself. I had come to the end of my way. And that's what these disciples have done this day. They have spent themselves with all of their abilities. Do you know the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 12, in verse 12, much study is a weariness of the flesh. I don't know about you, but I've had times that I've looked down in my Bible and I've begun to read the Word of God. There's times when that Bible ministers to me, and I thank God for every one of those times.
But I'll say to you this afternoon, there's times when I read it and read it, and the only thing that I can do is... and yawn. You said, why, Brother Hatfield? Because there's a warfare involved in reading this book right here. This is a inspired version of the Word of God. Amen. This is the Holy Word of God. And when you get down and read it, you don't read it like another book. I tell you, that flesh will begin to yawn, and that flesh will get tired, and much studying is a weariness of the flesh. You can mark her down. The devil will fight anybody that begins to seek after the power of God. You mark her down. He's an enemy, and he'll come your way. The Bible even tells us that Jesus was on a journey. The first time that he come to Samaria, the Bible said he came to Jacob's well. And there the Bible said he sat down upon the well, being weary from his journey. You can get tired doing a good thing. You can get to the place where you just don't feel like you can do any more in the name of the Lord. And you need meetings like this. You need times like this to come aside and be encouraged and be helped and be strengthened in the name of the Lord. And if God would help me this afternoon, I want to preach a message entitled Weary in Well-Doing. Weary in Well-Doing. Look with me, open your Bible, if you will, to Galatians chapter 6 and verses 8 and 9 of the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verses 8 and 9. For these verses go along with what I'm trying to say to you today. For the Bible said, he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Thank God, I'm glad there's a strength involved in the call of God. And sometimes when you have that call upon your life, and whether you're a pastor, an evangelist, a missionary, whatever you are, you get weary and get to the point sometime where you feel like you're having to do everything by yourself. You're having to do it all, and you just want to throw in the towel and give up and quit. But I want to say to you today, there's no place of quitting in the Lord's Word. We got to be strengthened, and we've got to help each other, amen? And the Bible's talking here in these Scriptures about Jesus praying. And these disciples had their own prayer meeting, but they got weary in praying, amen? I don't know about you, but when I begin to pray, it's a warfare. You get down on your knees at the house, and you begin to talk to the Lord, and that telephone will ring, or somebody will ring your doorbell, or something will happen that will interrupt you. It's a warfare today, amen, to spend time in prayer. And these disciples found that out. I remember when I was pastoring down in Alabama, I had an altar at my house, and I used to go in and get on that altar. And it seemed like every time I got on that altar, somebody would come to my door, or a telephone would ring, and I'd have to go make a visit or do something. But there is a need for us to get along with God and have a time of refreshment. Amen. It's weary and well-doing. It's possible tonight to get tired doing a good thing. Not only praying, but I want to say there's weary and well-doing in pastoring today. You try to be a pastor and try to see after people, they'll try your patience. Amen. I've been there before. I thank God before I became an evangelist, God put me in a church and I got to know people and I got to minister. And I come out of that corn crib and I said that I knew God had done something in my life. The next year and a half after that prayer, I baptized 66 people. We went from 18 in Sunday school to 125. And God began to send revival to that little country church where I was. I'm glad God can do it today. Amen. But if you're going to pastor, you better learn to get aside and take care of yourself and minister to yourself and make sure that you're spiritual enough to do what God wants you to do. People don't understand today. Amen. They don't understand that a preacher gets tired. That a preacher sometime, I'm glad that this afternoon my pastor's here, Brother Broughton, and I heard him at our church the other day say, we're going to change soul winning to a different time because I've been gone for 2 weeks and I just want to be at home. People don't understand things like that. But we're human too. Amen. We've got flesh that we've got to watch after. We've got a wife that we've got to watch after. And we've got children that we've got to watch after. And that has to be nourished. And there has to be time given to that. You can't just always go out and do the work of God and stay fresh within yourself. You better have you a prayer meeting, amen. You better have a time where you get along with God if you're going to pastor a church and be what God wants you to be. I still believe with all my heart the greatest call on the face of this earth is being a pastor. Amen. I believe that today. I don't believe there's a position any greater. I heard Brother Ed Ballou one day, he was preaching in my church, and he looked over at me and he said, Brother Hatfield said the other day, I was driving down the road, and he said, my wife slid over beside me and said she reached and put her hand in my hand, and he said she looked over at me and said to think that I'm in the car with the one greater than the President of the United States of America. Said at best he was elected by the people, but said you've been called by God. Amen. Thank God today. It's the greatest position there is upon the face of this earth. But you better learn to take time to go aside and have your time of refreshing with God and get in some meetings like this and be faithful to them, because there is an enemy out there and the enemy is going to try to tear down the pastor of the local New Testament church today. I'm glad that there is a victory too. So there's weary in well-doing and praying. There's weary in well-doing and pastoring. But there's weary in well-doing in perfecting. You say, what do you mean, Brother Hatfield? I mean in growing. This is universal. This not only involves a pastor, but involves church members. It's like one black preacher said, I believe it was Brother Hill said, he said, I know I'm not what I ought to be, but he said, I've shown up not what I used to be, and he said, I know I'm not what I'm going to be. Hallelujah. I will say to you today, the Christian life is a growing process. You don't just wake up one day and all of a sudden you're in the will of God. You have the power of God. There's some growing to be done. Amen. And if you're not careful in your life of growing as a child of God, you're going to get weary in well-doing. And you're going to get tired. And you're going to fall more in love with the remote than you will with your prayer altar. Amen. Look at me. I'm preaching now. And thank God there's some growing to be done. I tell you, we need some growing in the house of God. It gets weary sometimes when the preacher's up preaching and he looks back there and he looks at stone faces. They're staring at him like a calf looking at a new gate. Amen. We need some power back in our lives. Amen. We need some position back in our lives again. Amen. We need some perfecting back in our lives again to grow as a child of God. We ought to be able to go up to our preacher and say, like one said to me one night, he said, "Brother Hatfield, you come on up here and preach. And while you preaching," said, "I'm going to get over here and scotch for you."
Yeah.
I said, "You're going to do what?"
Yeah.
He said, "I'm going to scotch for you."
Yeah.
I said, "What does that mean?" He said, "Well, when they push that old wagon up the hill," said that team, "sometimes you can make it all the way to the top. They scotch that rear tire. Let that team rest." Amen. Then they'd move up a little more and scotch it again. He said, "I'm going to scotch for you." I said, "I believe I can preach like that." Amen. Thank God we need some scotchers back in the house of God. Some of it will get behind the preacher and amen while he's preaching. Amen. Encourage him while he's up there taking the word of God. Why? Because there's weary and well-doing. And if you're not careful, you'll quit growing as a child of God. You'll quit challenging yourself. You'll cease to have a desire to do these things for the man of God. Amen. There's weary in well-doing, in perfecting. The devil fights us in growing. You said, what should we grow as? Our prayer life ought to grow. Amen. Our Bible study ought to grow. Our church attendance ought to grow. We ought to get behind the church and be involved in the activities of the church and be a good member to it. Amen. Be in your seat when you're a preacher. There has never been a time to this day that my preacher hadn't been in the pulpit that I've sat there when I'm at home and I say to myself, "Noah Broughton is in the pulpit right now. He's preaching. This is a good old day. We're making memories right now." I refuse to wait till he's gone to realize we were living in the good old days. Amen. I want to grow as a child of God and be there to pray and beg God to empower him while he preaches. It's a lot better than stone faces.
Yeah.
A lot better than tags looking at new gates.
Yeah.
A lot better than this.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah, right.
We're just concerned with getting out. You ought to be concerned with getting in.
Yeah.
Get in. Jump in the middle of this thing. How do you do it? You grow as a child of God. How close to God I am this Sunday, I want to be closer next Sunday. Amen. I want to be closer next month. I want to be closer next year. I want to grow and grow and grow as a child of God and get close to Him. These disciples had their own prayer meeting and they prayed to the very end of themselves till they just finally laid down and fell asleep. Here we are walking in the house of God, wondering what time it's going to be over, when it's going to come to an end. We ought to grow as a child of God. There's weary and well-doing in perfecting. There's weary and well-doing with the power of God. You know, it takes God's power to minister That's something the flesh can't do. The flesh just cannot emulate God's power. It doesn't matter what school you've been to. Amen. It doesn't matter about that. Doesn't matter what degree you have. It doesn't matter about that. I had one school give me one of them pieces of paper that says, "I'm Dr. B. Hatfield." And I still swallow. Amen. It doesn't matter where you went to school. It doesn't matter what your degree is. It doesn't matter what you have done. It only matters what you're doing now. Amen. God has power. And you better make sure that power's on your life. I tell you what would be good before you come to church tonight. I don't know who's going to preach tonight. But why don't you just find you an altar somewhere and get along with God. Amen.
Yeah.
Have a time of prayer and beg God to empower the preacher while he stands tonight and preaches the gospel. It'll help him. Amen. There's a power associated with the ministry. And the ministry is not only in the pulpit, but there's a ministry in the pew too. Do you know revival has an order? A revival, a real revival, has to come from God. But I've noticed that every time in history, every time that a revival has come, it came from God and landed right in the middle of a pulpit somewhere. Amen. It'll always fall on a man of God. But it won't stay in that pulpit. It'll bounce off the pulpit into the pew. Hallelujah. I'm glad you've got a part in this thing. There's a job to be done. You have a ministry too. My first ministry before I ever preach is to make sure that Benny Hatfield is spiritual enough to preach this sermon. Am I close enough to God to get up in front of them people and preach the Word of God? And you need that part of your life to realize your first ministry. Your priority is you yourself. Before I ever get my outline, before I ever open my Bible, I have to get alone in the upper room of the prophet's chambers you have here. And I have to get on my face before God and make sure that I'm spiritual enough and the power of God is upon me enough to do what God has asked me to do. There's a ministry involved with the power of God. It doesn't just fall on anybody. His power falls where there's an appetite. You remember the Grace Baptist, I'll center you out. But all this week we've been looking at Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. We've looked at those words this week. And I'm glad that if we've got a thirst and a hunger for righteousness, the Bible said they shall be filled. You mark her down, God's going to pass by. He's going to come by one time during this meeting. When he does, he's going to anoint. He's going to empower. He's going to bless. He's going to do it. The only question you have to ask yourself is, am I spiritual enough to meet with God today? There's weary and well-doing. Weary and well-doing in praying. Weary with well-doing in pastoring. Weary with well-doing in perfecting. Weary with well-doing in the power of God. But there's weary and well-doing in preaching. Do you know preaching has, this is a big word to me, but homiletics.
paralytic tone. You know, people like in the... I preached the Independent Baptist because I am one. I've been one all my life, so I might as well just stay one. Amen. So I'll just center you out here. But preaching, people like it when you just get up there and grab back and preach. Amen.
Yeah.
Independent Baptists like people just to preach. Just to get with it. Amen.
Yeah.
I mean, you take your voice and you can say, well, I thank God I was born on the power of God to fall. And you'll see good things happen in your life. I can emulate how to preach. I can get up with paralytic tones. I can do homiletic. I can do all of that. But preaching is a whole lot more involved than that. It's realizing that up in heaven, God has given you a message. Thank God. You got it from another world, Brother Donnie. You got it from another world. God showed you that message, and that blessed my soul. I mean, every sermon that's been preached today, I don't know about you, but I've needed it. Amen. Sermons originate in heaven, and they fall right on the heart of the man of God. Amen. But there's weariness in well-doing and preaching. If you're not careful, you'll come to the end of yourself with your preaching. You'll try things. Why do you think so many churches today are going to these stupid praise songs? Amen. Got quiet then, didn't it? You're trying to entertain people. We're trying to see how people can fit in the church in this modern day. You'll never build a church. You said, but they've got thousands. Yeah, but what do they have? What do they have when they stand before God? What's going to happen? Amen. They have nothing. But we realize that a person only comes to God by one way, and that's to repent of their sins, call upon the God of heaven, inquiring that He will forgive that sin, write their name down in heaven, and that gives them access to heaven. Not learning praise songs. It's not going to school to learn how to preach.
Right.
It's getting down in that other school. You know that one, that neology. Amen. Getting along with God and just letting God's power rest on you preaching. We need preaching back in our churches again. Amen. You said, one family came to our church recently. Again, I'm quoting Brother Broughton a lot, but he's my preacher. I heard him ask him, said, what do you do for you young people? He said, we preach. They said, yeah, but what do you do for them? He said, we preach. You know what they meant. I know what they meant. How are you going to entertain them? How are you going to fix it? So if they're interested in the church, amen. Well, I remember how I got interested in the church. I got saved, amen. I came down on this side of the aisle. I knelt in the altar and God saved my soul. I got up and I fell in love with the things of God. My preacher, first off, 6 months later, I told him, I said, God's calling me to preach. He said, you need a Sunday school lesson. I said, a Sunday school lesson. He said, yeah, you need to study your Bible. Get something from God. He said, let me give you a class. You teach it. And I thought he was going to give me students, you know. And I said, well, which one do you want me to teach? He said, none of them. He said, I want you to go out and find them.
Yep.
Amen.
Yeah.
I went out. He said, they've got to be your own age. And I took my own age and I brought them into the house of God.
Amen.
I began to teach the Bible to them.
Amen.
We outgrew our Sunday school room and had to move upstairs to a double-sized room.
Amen.
I'm not bragging on Brother Hatfield. I'm telling you, there is a God up in heaven that blesses preaching, and preaching will still get the job done.
Amen. Amen.
It'll build our church,
yes.
We may not have quantity, but bless God, we'll have quality.
Amen.
Amen. I'm probably going to get shot out of the saddle for saying this, but I'll go ahead anyway. We need to get to the place where we're not interested in big numbers.
Yeah, you're right.
You're right.
Yeah.
What do we need to do? Quality. Have some quality. How many you have in your church, Brother Hatfield? We're running about 7,000. We haven't talked about 150. Amen.
Still running.
Amen. But we've got brainwashed if you think you're not the success if you don't have a certain number in your church. And the truth is just not there. The truth is just build quality with what God.